chapter 20 and subsection 21 in chapter 32, we were studying that at certain questions that we have about letters, we'll ask a child about what's his opinion, and a child who's not too smart, not too foolish, as we learned the conditions, will ask him what the letter is, and by whatever he says, that's what the letter is. It's interesting. Normally, we don't accept testimony or anything of a child. We don't accept that. You got to be an adult for that. But here, an adult will give his opinion. We won't accept it. But if a child gives their opinion, shows you the value of the knowledge and the perception of the child. And it doesn't matter. You can have 10 great scholars saying that this letter is a vav. And if the child says it's a yud, it's a yud. We go by the child. We were told that we didn't give an age, but they said that it has to be fluent in letters, meaning he knows letters, but he doesn't really understand the meaning of the word, so that he won't judge it by the words beforehand. We also learned about covering up. Sometimes it can be misleading because there's extra ink, but there's an interruption. He may conclude it's the wrong letter, then you're going to have to block the letter. Now, but he's going to say like this. We will not make something kosher by the reading of the child. It's only when we're in doubt, if the length of the letter has the right size. If you're not sure about the right size. And we said before also, this would mainly apply in a case where there's a long letter, and we're not sure what the size of that length of that letter, whether that letter is a vav, a yud, a nun, or whatever that letter may be, because if it's a letter that also has width to it, then it's enough to have the size of a small yud underneath, because the shape of the letter basically tells us what the letter is. But the child, we can ask, if we don't know, im oirech ha'isu kashir, whether the length of the letter meets the right size. The same thing is, we can ask the child about the width of the letter, whether the width is like the shear. So say for example, kegoin, dalet, if you have a letter dalet, so basically a dalet has a top, it has a top and it has a leg, or a top and a leg, right? And the leg is connected to the right side of the top, that's a dalet. Now, yud also has a little bit of a top and a little leg. Now, you wrote a little yud, you may not know a dalet shenichtev ketanek in yud. You have a small dalet which looks like a yud. So now, we have a question, not in the height so much, but we want to know the width, whether is it a yud or a dalet. So we can ask a child, the child will tell us if it's a yud or a dalet. She'im atinek koyre dalet, if the child will read as a dalet, you intended to write a dalet, but it's a small dalet, almost looks like a yud. And you ask the child, read it for us, and he will say that it's a dalet, then it's kosher, then it's a kosher letter, it's okay. But what if it's in a case, if it's known to us, we know that this letter is not proper, it's not the right letter. So then, it doesn't matter, even if the child will read it properly as the letter that it should be, that would not help us at all. So the child's reading doesn't just make it kosher just because he reads that letter. It needs to be a kosher letter. If we know it's not kosher and he reads it properly, it doesn't help us. For example, you have like a little yud on top of the aleph. Is a yud over there. It's like the yud, the piece that connects is called a yud. Or you had of the ayin, the letter ayin, the two sides, they have like little yuds on the top. Those are the letters that connect to the angle of the yud. So those two yudin are shins. The shins has those yudin that go down. The shins has the yuds that go down. Va'alfin, ayin and shin and alfin. So if those letters are separate from the body of the letter itself, so like the yud isn't touching the actual letter, so the tops aren't touching, there is a interruption. Sometimes you have the leg of the tov, that leg doesn't touch I'm assuming that he is talking about the left leg, even though it says a plural, raglay, but he's talking of the letters tav, because the right letter, the right leg is just the regular, is the regular size. I mean, that would be just a regular letter, like the dalet or the hey, the right hand side. I'm assuming that he's talking about the letter tav on the left hand side. So if there ainon noigim begufa ois, if they don't touch the actual letter, and it's on the first page, you have the aleph base there, yeah? Begufa ois is pesulois. So then that would be no good. Even though the child will read it, he'll read it like the right letter, doesn't help. Why? What is it going to benefit us? What is it going to help when the child reads? But we can see that that letter isn't properly, isn't like the halacha is. We can tell that the letter isn't properly. So there is, however, a benefit. So here it seems to say that if a child will read him correctly, isn't going to make the letter kosher. However, he says to you something, a very important halacha, that it would be some benefit if you call a child to read it. Which means you can't leave the letter as it is, but you can fix the letter. A letter that a child reads properly can be fixed even if you've written later on. It is enough kosher that because the child would read it correctly, that, yeah, what would you want to say?
No, so is that like a difference of opinion?
In this case, he didn't bring down any different opinion. He just brings down one opinion over here in this one.
You said that if the child says it's a letter, then that's the letter.
That would be in a case where the question of the letter is either the length or the width of the letter, that we're not sure.
Right.
But there are certain cases which we know. We don't have a question. We know that it's wrong. We know that the letters are detached. We know that it's no good. There's no question that it's no good. It's only a matter that the child is reading it because he's not taking into account that these letters are been cracked. But yet, he says to you, Mikol Makoyim, still, my Elis Kiris Hatinik Ba'isis Elu, the reading of a child of these letters will help us, Le'inyan Sheyuchel L'saknon, that as far as being able to fix those letters, Ya'afim Kosev Achareyim, even if he wrote after them. Now, it seems to me, I mean, you can't just say, oh, I'm sure if I called a child here, this is the way he would read it. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to actually call in a child, and you have to have him read it. And if he says that that's the letter, then that's the letter. That's the way we go by. We don't go and say, oh, I'm sure if I would have him read it, he would read it that way. We need him to read it to make it kosher. That's what it seems.
And then you can repair it.
And then you can prepare it. It does not make, now it's not avodic, which is bayer, as we explained. Yeah?
So when you use the term child, are you talking about physical age or someone who is not necessarily knowledgeable?
Well, that's a questionable thing with the age. Right?
That's a very good question. It's basically would seem like the purpose would be the level of knowledge. But I think in the practical, halachically, we actually need a child.
Yeah.
You actually need a child. It's basically we're going to say when a child, it is what the child reads. Now, there is a known saying of the previous Lubavitch Rebbe. He would say that the age of a person is not determined by the passport. Right. He says that you passport can say that you're 75 years old, but you can only be a five-year-old as far as your Judaism goes.
Or your immaturity.
Well, immaturity. But he was talking about your knowledge of Yiddishkeit. He says it doesn't go. So, but such a
three-year-old that knows the alphabet.
Yeah. So, I guess that's already up to knowing the judgment. But you see, like I'm saying, it's not merely a judgment that we have to judge what this letter is like, but it's a matter of having the actual child come in and read the letter in the proper way in order to make that letter a good letter. So I don't think an adult would work for this. No, adult would not. So because it's more than just wanting to find out what's the status. We need actually a child to lead it. And I think this also has a tremendous lesson to it, the value of the reading of the child, that would determine whether a Sefer Torah is kosher or not kosher. I mean, and even for this case, even in a case where we know for sure it's no good because there is an interruption, but yet when the child reads it, at least we can fix it. Situations that you can't fix otherwise, I mean, that's a tremendous lesson. This is a powerful lesson. Situations you can't fix otherwise, but when the child reads it that way, and that's why also a lot of times when we talk about our relationship with God, we say we're like God's children. And a lot of times we're actually referred to as young children, like a Nar Yisrael V'yavehu. God says, because he's like a young child, Israel, so that I love him. So there is something to be said about us being able to fix, you know, that even if we make mistakes, and our own little Sefer Torah has a little little crack in it, but if we choose to read the Torah, then we can sort of go ahead and we can repair it and have it.
Mean a child or an adult who's a child?
I'm talking metaphorically as an adult, as
right,
a child.
So an adult could be.
Adult and child. We're not talking about the halacha of repairing actual Torah. We're talking about the lesson, the message, yeah?
So you can repair the mezuzah the same way?
Mezuzah can be repaired also the same way. Through the reading of a child.
It doesn't matter because that could be repeated anyway.
That's right. Then we wouldn't need the child.
Need the child.
That's right. Exactly. Good point. Seif Chav Beis, we'll do subsection 22.
Oh, sure.
Now we have another issue. Now we're coming up with other cases, and which is also commonly problems that we have. You have a drop of ink, and we'll see the difference between ink, or you have a piece of wax. We'll see. You have a drop of ink falling into a letter, and it messes up the letter now. And now the letter is no longer recognizable. V'im naflo tipas diyoi l'toichois. A drop of ink falls inside the letter. V'ein anikeresois, and the letter is not recognized. We can't tell the letter anymore. It doesn't have that shape of the letter which is supposed to represent. And we're not talking about a situation that you don't have any parchment left. So let's say you have in the middle of a letter, you had a resh, let's say, you had a letter resh. And then you have a drop of ink fall in there. Now it looks like a hey, it doesn't look like a hey, it looks like a ches, you know, whatever, because you have an ink, it fell in there. So you wrote a resh, but now you have another ink drop, you know, he's going over with his quill, he's writing, and then all of a sudden, while he's writing, a drop falls into a letter. Now, we're not talking about a situation where that letter took up the parchment, so now there's no more parchment there. Left it filled the whole hollow place of the letter. We're talking even though there is parchment. It still has the parchment within it. That would only, if it didn't have the parchment, the only problem would be, according to the second opinion that we learned earlier, because the first opinion doesn't have a problem with the parchment after the letter was written already. He doesn't care about having surrounded by parchment around it. But the second opinion said, at least you can scrape it, but in the second opinion said, but yeah, then you can scrape it and there's no problem with after Kisidron either, as we learned. But the second opinion, though, said that if it fills the whole hole, there would be another problem because you don't have parchment around it and you can't use the parchment from the other side, so then you'd have a problem according to the second opinion. But that's why in the parentheses he's saying we're not talking about a problem of Mukav Gavil. So even though there is still parchment in there, so there's no problem of not that being parchment there. The problem right now, the only problem we have is the letter looks like a different letter. You can't tell the letter anymore. You can't see what it is anymore. It maybe looks like a pay or something. It looks something in between. So like he gives you an example. Kigoin shenaflo l'toich dalet. It goes inside of the dalet.
Yeah.
And v'nidis kehei. Now it looks like a hey.
Right.
You have three, and then you have one drop over there. It looks like, hey. Or it falls into a letter base, and vinir is kefe. Now it looks like a pay. It looks like that. Okay.
They didn't have cursive then, did they?
They don't know. You have to have this as special writing of the Ksav Ashuri, the Torah writing.
Right, it's not like modern.
Right. No. You can't write like that. Oishain shame beis oleho. Or, you know, either falls into a beis, it looks like a fey, or, but it doesn't look like a beis anymore. It doesn't say, even though it doesn't. In the first two examples, he gave you an example which it looks like a different letter. And the third example that he's giving over here, it looks like no letter. I mean, it looks like a blotch over there. You can't tell. Right. It's either into the base or in any other, or it lands on any other letter. And there is no more the name of it. You don't call it anymore. It loses its name. Or it would be taking away some of the letter, which means you have a certain shape of the letter that it has to be, but now you have a blotch over there, it is taken away from that shape of that letter that's supposed to be there. So now it's taking away. See, sometimes, you know, when you add, you take away because you can't tell anymore. Even he says, even if it only takes away just the point of the letter, either it's always going to be possible. In all of these cases, it's going to be no good.
Well, you get a child to look at it.
Well, a child is not going to help. We know. This is not going to be a questionable one. In this case, he's just talking obvious.
It's obvious.
Arv hu koitz. And if it's... Afilim ksav mele koitz. Even if it fell in a spot that it no longer has its point. Certain letters have points. And it would be a type of a pointer in which the letter would be disqualified when you're lacking that point. It'll be lacking there. The drop appears as if it's the body of the letter. I guess, I'm not sure this is in the last case over here. It seems like this becomes like the body of the letter itself. That blotch looks like the body of the letter and everything else looks like around it. So everything else loses the shape. But in all of these cases, the letter is a non-recognizable letter. So now that all these cases, psula, it's no good. Now, the question is, you want to fix it. You want to remove. You dropped a little ink onto the letter. You took it, it lost its shape. It's no longer kosher. So now what you want to do is you want to scrape it off. You want to scrape off that extra. You want to make the letter back into a letter. So he says, you can't do that. You don't have the possibility to fix it by scraping off that drop of ink. And that will therefore put the letter back into its fixed way. You'll fix the letter, it should be back to shape. So he says that would be no good. That is considered known as chok tuchos, which means that you engrave inside of the letter, and then the letter gets the shape, which means like this: that you grave out the inside of the letter, and therefore the shape is made up. So, what would happen if somebody, like for example, if you wanted to make an aleph, so what you do is you would write, let's say, give me an example. Let's say if you have a black piece of paper, okay, and then you white out all around and then you get a black letter, right? So you're creating the letter not by writing the letter, but by eliminating the colors that are around the letters. That's no good. In the case when you're going to scrape off the ink from that letter, you're not writing the letter, you are removing the part that makes it look like another letter.
Right.
You're not writing the letter. That is considered chak tuchis. It's like engraving inside the middles of the, you know, not the letter itself, and then it's going to remain the letter what's not scraped off. So if you have a blotch of ink on a piece of paper, not the example that I gave before, but you put a blotch of ink on the paper, and then you're going to go scrape off all the other pieces that are supposed to be white, and now you're going to have a letter aleph over there, or a base. That's no good. That's called chaytuch, because you're not writing it, but you're actually scraping off. You are creating it with what's not been scraped off.
You wrote it in the beginning, though.
No. But at any point.
You did write the aleph.
Oh, that's right. Before the ink fell on it. Yeah, you're right. But that aleph was ruined.
Oh, so
wasn't. No, now anymore. Now you got to start over from the beginning.
This only applies if you went beyond that letter.
If you didn't go beyond the letter, erase the whole letter and start over again. Yeah. Then you wouldn't have a problem.
But this if you remove the ink.
But here, by removing the ink, it's not going to help you anymore. So, Batoyda Omra, because the Torah says, Uchisaftam, you shall write. The Loivachakaktam, the Torah doesn't say you should grave out. Let's grave out. The Chachamim interpret what it means is that we're talking about when you're engraving the around the letter so that the letter comes out. That's what the pasuk is talking about. So therefore, by the Bayah Sefer Torah, okay, erase the whole letter and rewrite it. But by the tefillin and the mezuzahs, if you have a drop of ink on there, there's nothing what to do because you can't fix the letter. I don't know. Anyways, it seems to be out of order. I'm not sure. And let's say by the tefillin and the mezuzahs, let's say that we were allowed to do that. We're going to see in a minute. Let's say we were allowed to do that. But isn't that considered out of order writing? Because now that letter appears in the, it would maybe anyways be out of order. I'm not sure. Okay, so he says, "V'hu adin." The same thing is true. If you're erasing the ink when you're still moist, and now you make it properly. So let's say you wanted to write a yud, so you wrote it a little bit too big, so you're going to erase a little bit of the ink, so it should be the yud. So that's no good, because now you made a yud by taking away some of the ink. You see what a sofer has to be careful with? Can you imagine? That if he wrote a vav, he can't just go back and take a little bit of the ink off and leave it as a yud.
That's providing he's gone forward.
No, if he wants to leave it here, he can't just do that.
No,
he has to wait till it dries up, get rid of the whole letter, and write it again.
That's the same.
You can, but you can see how important it is for him.
Create another letter from a different letter.
Even though you're just writing it right now.
Right.
Yeah. Even though you're still writing it right now, and the ink is still moist. Yeah. So what you're doing is you're fixing the letter that you just wrote. No good. Well, you're going to say, well, in this case, the letter hasn't yet been settled in. It's just moist still. So it's not. So he says, no, it doesn't make a difference. It makes no difference between whether you're going to actually engrave it, or you're going to scrape off, or you're going to erase, whatever you're going to do. It's the letter cannot be made out of taking away, but rather have to write it, not to take it away. Kivan she'ein ksiva, since it's not the ksiva, but Torah amru chsaftim, the Torah said, you shall write it. I'm trying to finish up so we get into the subject because we're going to take a break from the halachas, and then we're going to go to the laws of Purim, and then we're going to go back. Sif chav gimel. So the same thing would be in subsection 23. V'chein im tov v'kosav dalet b'mekoyim reish. You're going to have the same problem if you written a dalet in the place of a reish. The difference between the dalet and the reish is on the right corner over there.
Curve.
It's a curve. It's either a circular or it's straight. Now, he wrote, by accident, he wrote a dalet. And he wants to make a reish over there. So what is he going to do? He's going to erase. He has to write a chav. He ended up writing a base. The base also, the difference is, the chaf is circle on the top, and the base is flat, is straight on the top. So, ain't takana ligrer limchek hatog. So there is no fixing, so he's going to scrape off, or he's going to erase that tug, that extra piece that's called the tug, then because that's engraving from the outside and creating the letter from.
But
from
he'll leave the leg there.
No, he's going to have a vase. It's not going to be a chof.
He's got to have the whole letter, right?
But what about removing the middle? You know, it doesn't chof have a middle.
There's no dot. There's no in the Torah. There's only a chof. There's no chof and a chof in the Torah.
Oh, there's no dot in the Torah.
No, there's no. It's all red. You have to just know where to put in the chof and the chof. It's the same letter. It's one letter. So, but that's in the case where you have a dalet, or you had to write a resh, or you had a you needed to write a chof and you wrote a base instead. But the other way around, it's not a problem. But if you had to write a base and you wrote a chof, you can add.
Can't subtract.
You can't subtract, but you can add.
So you can create the curve.
You can create the curve. But you can add ink. I take that back. In the same letter, for sure, what I said is also true, but that's not what he's saying over here. But over here, what he's saying over here is, like, even if you wrote the base, right? And now it's what? Now, so he says you can't take off. But you can you can make it circular at the end. You make it a larger letter. You can fix it by adding ink. That's okay.
It's okay to add, but not.
But you can have a if you wanted to write a chaf and you ended up writing a base, you can add ink and make this base back into a chaf, but you can't take away from the ink and make it into a chaf.
These things don't count.
The Torah don't count. They don't count. A base and a base. Yeah,
you gotta know what you're reading.
That's right.
Understand what it says.
Yeah. That's right.
It's the curve.
It's the curve. This is the flat at the end. That's what it is.
This is a little bit. This lines up here.
It's close though.
Yeah, the chaf and the base are similar, very close. But in the Torah, you'll see that it sticks out at the end of the base, the ksavashuri. There's a drop goes out by the right hand side where it meets its leg.
I mean the dot,
No dots.
That's what I'm saying.
There are a few spots in the Torah where they have dots on the top of the letters, which means something else. Okay. There are like dots on the top of the letters.
Little crowns too.
The crowns that separate, they're older letters. A lot of them. Then we're going to learn about those.
The bottom.
But we're talking about
a little bit different.
Yeah.
But the point is,
But in the Ksav Ashuri, in the Torah, the base is distinct from the chaf by the corner of the right hand side corner. In the upper right hand corner.
Is that different than this?
The right hand corner will be the
more round
circular. And this will be straight. But in the printed one, it's not as obvious.
But yeah, when you see it with your eye, you can see the difference.
Okay.
Because it's also the way that it comes down.
Straight.
It's like a dollar the way it comes
down. Okay. So what we can do is we can add to the ink and make it again circular. So now it looks like a resh. Okay. But provided, it's only if he didn't write anything after this letter. Because again, you can't fix it after you wrote after this letter, because then it will be no good because it's not in order. As will be explained, as we said many times, and Sif Lamed, we're going to learn later on how it's important that the letters be written in the same order. This is the other scenario that we talked about. If he had to write a dalet, he wrote a resh by accident. Over there he can add extra, or if he wrote a letter chaf instead of the base, you can add. So you can add to fix the resh. You can add also the dalet has extra here, so you can fix the dalet from the resh.
This is rounded and this isn't.
Yeah, the dalet extends out.
Yochel lasis merubaskil chosa. It's called more square. So you can make it, so you can add ink and make it more square as the halacha of the
Dalet.
Of the dalet or the chaf.
Or a dalet into a hay, chaf. You could put that little line in there, can you?
But you can only do it in leikosav acharea if you didn't write anything afterwards.
Right.
All these fixing has to be, because you can't fix the letter after you've written. So he gives you the rule now. If you're fixing by writing, that's okay. If you're fixing it by writing and not through scraping or erasing, then it's kosher. Then it's kosher. So you got to be very careful. You know, like when the scribe is coming to fix the Sefer Torah, you have to make sure that you're not making the letter visible by when you're scraping off, because that way you would be.
He takes the whole letter off and redoes it.
If I say Sefer Torah, he can do that.
Right.
But he doesn't always want to do that. I mean, who wants to go, like, you want to touch it up? So as long as the letter has the shape of the letter, as long as it's not totally cracked, so then you can just fix it up, touching it up with ink. But if you want to touch it up by removing, then you're going to get yourself into problems.
So
making sure that it's not...
So if the letter is somewhat recognizable, you can repair it even in the Torah.
Yeah.
But if it's not recognizable, they have to take the whole letter out.
Yes, yes, that's right. You can't make it recognizable by scraping off.
Not take away.
That's right. You cannot scrape a chof to make it into a base, or you can't scrape a base to make it into a dalet. So let's go do one more halacha and see if chof dalet. Subsection 24. We're talking here, the problem is that you got to scrape off some ink. Ink is what you write with. But what happens, if there is like wax ended up on the letters? So now it disrupts the letter. Now you disrupt the letters. Sometimes you have dirt on top of the letters. Now they are disrupted. Now dirt, you just blow off. Sometimes you get, it looks like the letter is no good. All what you got to do is blow it off.
Why would you have wax?
Maybe you have the Abdullah, maybe made Abdullah over there, or yeah, or they would say, or glue, or maybe you had glue or something, and what?
The Torah, they take an eraser and they rub off the dirt, a pencil eraser.
Yeah, if you just so you have a difference between a chaf and a vase in the Torah, you can see over here. You see, this is circular.
Mm-hmm.
The chaf and the base is straight.
Right.
So also the bottom, the chaf is circular and the base is straight. Actually, yeah. Has a little bit coming out.
Yeah.
That's fixing up. Now it's a different. You see, you can see there's a clearly.
You see it together with other letters, it's more.
You can see standing out. Now, but I'm not exactly sure if he's only talking about. When he talks about the difference between the chaf and the vase, he's maybe not only talking about the top, the same thing, the top and the bottom, because both of them make the difference between the chaf and the vase. I'm not sure that only one of them is sufficient. We'll have to, when we learn the letters of the chaf and the vase, we'll have to see which part of it. So let's say, if you have, the bottom is a chaf, and the top is a base. Is it a base or a chaf? See, it seems like, from what we see here, there are two distinctions between the chaf and the base. First of all, the top of the base is, at the end is flat, is straight, where the chaf is circular. Right. And you also see the bottom of the base sticks outside of the leg, and over there is a circle that it goes straight into the leg.
Yeah.
So you see, yeah. Now the question is, I'm not sure which one of them would determine, or if both of them. It could be if you have one and the other, it's still not going to be a good letter. You can't write it. So if you wrote a chaf, you could fix the chaf by adding a little bit to the top and a little bit to the bottom.
Yeah.
So you're going to fix it by adding in both sides. You can fix it, but you can't make from the chaf back into a base to fix it by means of shaving off a little bit to put it back into, to bring it back into that. Okay, so now he says, so what happens? The cause of the greatest joy. This is all when the ink, scraping of ink. I believe not of shaiva la isius, but what happens if you have some wax on the letters or glue, something else which is not the ink type? Goited of a kosher, then you can scrape it off and it's kosher. Because it's not part of the letter, it doesn't. The ink ruins the letter because it's the same as the letter.
Right.
But that's an extra substance which doesn't disqualify the letters. So now the question is, are you permitted to scrape it off from a Sefer Torah on Shabbos? You come Shabbos, you have a problem. You're reading in the Torah, and all of a sudden, you know, you see there's some dirt in there. There's some, not ink, but there's dirt in there. It messes up the letter. And soon we'll see how bad it has to mess it up also, because we're going to see that sometimes you have to use your judgment.
Well, but you can't write on Shabbat. Can you scrape on Shabbat?
That's the question. He says it will be explained in the Siman Shin Mem. He doesn't give you the answer right here and then, and we have to look it up and see how much of the scraping that you need to do over there. In the Siv Dalad, he discusses that over there in Shin Mem. But we have to look it up, but we're out of time. So let me just do one more, see if we can do one more Siv. No, I don't think we have enough time to do the Siv. So we'll leave it over here, and we